Well, I hope you've received as much a blessing in this service and in this meeting as I have. I appreciate very much the presence of the Lord that I felt in this meeting. I appreciate how the Lord has blessed us. And, you know, even the weather, I know it's a little warmer tonight, but the Lord has blessed us with so much. And I thank the Lord for that. And I was thinking as they were singing that song, and I appreciate all these songs. You know, it's going to mean something to make heaven, isn't it? It's going to mean something for you and I to be able to experience that first day in heaven. And I don't know that we can comprehend it. This is wonderful. But I'm going to tell you, I believe heaven is much more than that. And so I am eagerly anticipating the day that when I can enter heaven and I can hear the Lord say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And you know, I believe that's the desire of every one of us here tonight. And I trust that the Lord will encourage our hearts. I know we've been in the meeting for several days now. The Lord has sent several convicting messages. And I know sometimes we can feel almost like we get waterlogged by you get to this time of the meeting. But you know, I hope tonight that the Lord will encourage our hearts. The message that the Lord has given me, I feel like, is intended to encourage us and to stir up our vision of what God has for you and I. And so with that, I'd like to write something on the board. If y'all could sing one more verse of that song, I would appreciate it. I want to ask you a question. Is everybody going to heaven? When you think of something that's so wonderful, why is everybody not going to heaven? There's something that has to take place in order for that to happen, isn't it? And dear ones, it's going to be a great privilege for you and I if you and I can enter those gates into heaven. And that's the thought that I have on my heart. If you can't see what I've written on the board, I've written the word privilege. You know, privilege is something that you hear a lot about in our world today. Most of the time it has a kind of a negative connotation of people that have something that other people can't have. And generally those that are not privileged do not have much hope of being able to achieve or obtain what those that are privileged have. I want to read you the definition of privilege. Webster says it's a special right, advantage, or immunity granted or available only to a particular person or group. I'd like to talk to us tonight about privilege because I am concerned that many times people are living below their privileges. I believe many times the enemy of our soul would like to keep you and I from understanding what God has provided for us. And he would like to cause us to feel like it's just not for you. You can't have it. Others can have it because of their upbringing or because of something else, but it's not available to you. How many times have we felt like, and the enemy come to us and said, "Well, you're just not going to make it. You just can't make it because you don't have such and such." I'm going to tell you, dear ones, I hope by the time that we're through tonight that God will inspire hearts and help us to understand the great blessings and the privilege that God has given to each one of us this evening. I would like to start by looking at a very familiar scripture here in 1 Corinthians, the second chapter. If you'll turn with me to 1 Corinthians 2 and 9, the writer said, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things that God has provided for them that love him." Dear ones, I want you to know tonight, God has provided many things for his children, and for that matter, for all of mankind to enjoy. I said that heaven, there's not everybody's going to get to go there. But dear ones, God has provided many things for all of his creation to enjoy. And to illustrate that, I would like this evening to bring to our minds some of the things that God has provided in his creation that he desires each one of us to be able to receive and to enjoy. My wife and I went to Montana a few years ago to a wedding to take care of. And when we went on that trip, we decided to make a vacation out of it. And we began to go through Montana, Wyoming, South Dakota, some of those different places. And as I was traveling across that, I was reminded again that we could spend a lifetime just touring this country and never see it all. The Lord just kind of reinforced that to me. Just recently, I was there at home, and I've lived there in Oklahoma for over 40 years now. And you know, there are so many things that I haven't seen in the state of Oklahoma. You might say, what is there to see? I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of things. And it gets down even closer to that. I've lived between Tulsa and Sepulpa most all of those years. And the other day we were traveling through, going through Sepulpa, and I told my wife, I said, I've never been in this community, never been in this neighborhood, in this city. Now, Sepulpa is a very small town. But there are, and I got to thinking about that, there are so many streets and neighborhoods in that town that I've never been in. Do you know, dear ones, I know we've been here in this meeting and we've heard a lot of truth. And I realize that many of us have been raised in the truth. But I'm going to tell you, dear ones, I believe there are things that God has for you and I that we haven't ever seen before. I believe he's got depths of truth. I believe he has things that he wants you and I to get a hold of that he's just saying, I just can't wait till they get this. I just want to look at the look on their face when I reveal this to them. And they're like, well, Lord, I never saw that before. I didn't know that. I believe he wants to see us when we go through some of those trials and tests, and the Lord comes down and he begins to pour out, you know what I'm talking about? Those blessings that just cause us to say, oh, thank you, Lord. I wouldn't want necessarily to go through this trial again, but Lord, I wouldn't take anything for what you've done for me. Do you know, sometimes the Lord has to do those things. I want us to look at some things that God has given us. You know, people spend a lot of time in our world today going to look at things that man has created. Hollywood productions, movies, shows, films, sporting events, going to museums and looking at fine art, going to cities and looking at all the architecture and the things that man has built. And I'm not saying that there's something wrong with all those. Some of them I wouldn't recommend. But what happens is they spend a lot of time doing those things and they miss out on the real blessings, the things that God has provided for you and I, for our comfort, for our encouragement, and for our learning. I would strongly encourage our young families, take time, take your children, go out and look at the things that God has created. Take vacations and go out and look at some of those things that God has created, that it can stir up their pure minds, that it can cause them to think about, wow, I didn't realize God did all of this. You know, there's a lot of people have not seen a lot of things that God has created. And that includes us many times. And I believe God wants us to see that. Some of the things that we noticed as we were on that trip, as we were traveling, we went through Yellowstone, and many of you have been there, so you know what Yellowstone's like, the geysers, and standing there looking at that steam and water coming out of the ground. And I'm going to tell you, it made me think about hell and what's down, whether it's in this art, wherever it's at, hell is at, but thinking about what's there. And it just, it caused me to think about that. They have not only just the geysers, but there's beautiful waterfalls. There's all kinds of wildlife. There's things all around there that as I looked over it, and I just thought of the beauty of God's creation. We went to the Grand Tetons, and we looked at those mountains. And I just thought, how beautiful. Some of the formations and some of the things that God did. I want to tell you, dear ones, God put thought into everything that he created. We went over to Glacier National Park. And as I was looking at the mountains, but I was looking at some of the different things there, and I looked at those lakes. If you've been there, you know what I'm talking about. That water is crystal clear. And you can take and look just as far as your eye and the light penetrates into that water. And I walked over, and I grew up in Kentucky, and so we had streams and springs coming down, and it was clear water. But I've never seen rivers and big creeks that the water was as clear as the water in this glass. You could see every rock and every pebble. And I looked at that, and I thought, that's amazing. I've never seen anything like that. Do you know and it wasn't just on that, it wasn't that trip, but on other trips, we've gone places. I hope I'm piquing your interest to go see some of the things that God has. Not only literally, but spiritually. We went to New York and saw the Niagara Falls. And as I stood there and I watched as that water just kept pouring over those falls. And I looked at that and I thought, it's got to run out sometime. Do you know man can't create anything that don't run out? You got to recharge it. You got to do something. If you put it in water in a tank, you got to keep filling it up. And I looked at this and I just thought, thousands and thousands of gallons of water. And it just kept flowing over those falls. And I thought, this is just one river. This is just one falls. And while I was there, they kept telling me about this falls and this next falls. It's one of the largest falls. And I thought, what did God have in mind when he did all that? Have you wondered about that? I'm going to tell you what comes to my mind. I think about the river of life. I think about the fountain of living water that flows from the heart of God. That is an endless supply of hope and grace and peace and comfort and healing for all the cries that are going up before God. Dear ones, I'm going to tell you, when you get a vision of something like that, then when you hear all these requests that come in every service, I tell the folks at home, aren't you glad we serve a big God? Every Wednesday night, every Sunday, there's just request after request. And you think, does God ever get tired of hearing all of our requests? But I'm going to tell you, when I begin to see what some of God's creation is, do you know what it does? It gives me a greater vision of the greatness of our God. If he could take and cause a river to just keep flowing that never stops, dear ones, he has. And I believe that what he wants you and I to get a hold of is, I have grace and I have power and I have love and I have comfort and I have joy that's abounding. You think, well, I've got the end of it. When I got saved and the Lord blessed me, that's got to be surely the end of it. I can never feel better than this. I'm going to tell you, you just hang around a little bit. God's got something more for you that he just wants to open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing upon you. You know, there's other places that we've been to. We've been out to California. Some of those live out there, and we've seen the sequoias and the redwoods and some of those trees, and you stand up beside that and you look like an ant beside them. And as you're standing there and you're looking at that tree and you think, how in the world can a tree that big stand against the winds and the storms that come against it? You look at that root base, and yes, those are big trees, and they have a fairly good sized base, but you think, It just don't add up. The forces against that tree, there's no way that that root system can hold that. Do you ever wonder why God spent the time to create the trees like he did? I'm going to tell you what comes to my mind. The scripture of, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and it'll be it. Dear ones, I want you to know something tonight. If you and I can get a hold of one of the promises of God, like that tree has got a hold of the ground, we can withstand all the storms of life. We can take, no matter what the enemy throws at us, you and I can take and get a grip of that promise of God, and it'll carry us through. Do you know there's other things I think about oceans? I've been East Coast and West Coast, and when you look at that ocean, and you see the vastness of it, and then you think about, why'd God do that? The power of that water. You think about the how you get on there, you get on a ship, and you travel and travel and travel, and you look, and you can't see nothing else. And then you think about the song, the love of God is greater far than tongue or pen could ever tell. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, I personally believe that God created all these things for a purpose. I believe he did it because he wants you and I to somehow, in our minds, our human minds that can't comprehend God, to get a glimpse of the greatness of our God. I believe he wants us to get a hold of that. I've told this before, but when several years ago we went out to Oregon for a meeting, and my wife and I went over to the coast and stayed there for a few days, and while I was sitting there looking out at the ocean and just amazed at the power of God and what he had created, and there was a big old rock that was out there quite a ways out from shore, and I was watching that, and the waves just kept beating that rock and beating that rock. And it would come in, the tide would come in, and it just completely covered. And you think, well, it's gone now. The water just washed it away. And the tide would go out, and there was that rock, and the waves just keep beating against it. That was, I don't remember, 10, 15 years ago. Not too long ago, we went out there for another meeting. And we went back to that place, and one of the things I wanted to see is, I want to know if that rock's still there. And when we got there, if I remember right, the tide was up. And it was covered, and it looked like it, well, it's not there anymore. But you know what? When that tide went out, there was that rock in the exact same position that it was. Oh, dear ones, I'm going to tell you, those kind of things bless my soul. Because it tells me that the same God that created all this can allow you and I to have an experience that's founded on the rock, Christ Jesus. And you and I can have something that when the storms of life come against us and the devil just keeps bringing temptations and frustrations and all those things, and you just think, you can anchor to the rock. And you and I can stay true to God throughout all of it. Oh, I'm going to tell you, there's so many other things. I thought about the caves. I've been to Mammoth Caves. And if you've ever been down into the earth and down into those caves like that, what do you come away with? Darkness. Utter darkness. And I've been down there, and the darkness is so thick, you can't see nothing. You can hold your hand like this, and you can't see it. You know what? I believe God wanted you and I to get a vision of when he talks about being cast into outer darkness, that you and I can somehow in our human minds fathom what he's talking about. Can you imagine being in a place that through eternity that is like that? You know, we talk about hell and fire and all that, but I'm going to tell you, people in our world today can't stand to spend 20 minutes quiet. Because of the conviction and the things that come their way. What do you think they're going to be like in eternity when it's utter darkness? And they're in a place where their only thing they can face, I don't know what they can see. But sometimes I think those people that are, they're saying, well, I couldn't live it because of them and them. You know what? They're not going to be able to see anybody else. All they're going to be able to see is what they've done and what they've missed out on. I firmly believe, dear ones, that God created all of these things in order for you and I to understand more about what he has in his word to give us. When you look on God's creation, why do you suppose that he created things the way he did? Do you know God, and I've said this before, God could have created this whole universe just flat and barren. He could have made everything gray. No color at all. You say, that'd been terrible. You know, we wouldn't have known the difference. But he didn't do it. Why didn't he do it? Do you know, dear ones, God doesn't do something for naught. I believe that God, as he mused over all of these things and he looked at it, there's a reason why he says good. There's things that he put into creation that he wanted you and I to get a hold of. And I believe, dear ones, that when you and I get a hold of those things, it'll show us something. For example, I mentioned we went to Montana. As we were traveling across that country, we saw vastly different country. From the mountains that were so beautiful to the high desert that's normally dry and barren. When we went through there, the high desert, they had had unseasonably wet weather that year, kind of like we've had in Oklahoma. And as we traveled across that, I looked out, and that as far as I can see in the ground, and it just kept going and going. It wasn't huge mountains there. It was just rolling ground. And I looked at that, and the grass was thick and luscious and tall. And I looked at that, and I thought, this has to be a rancher's dream. I mean, this has got to be the best ground that you could ever have. And I looked at that, but as I drove along, I looked at it and I thought, where are all the cattle? There were a few cattle here, just like stragglers, and I thought, where are the cattle? And I kept asking that question. Well, some of the locals, when we stopped somewhere, told us, said, well, there's a reason for that. It's not normally this way. They said, normally that's dry and barren ground, and it takes hundreds of acres to keep just a few cattle. Do you know, it's amazing what a little water will do to ground like that. Such vast potential. And I looked at that and I thought, why did the Lord create it that way? Why did the Lord create all this ground that's got such vast potential and it's such a dry and barren place? I don't know about you, but I wonder sometimes if God didn't do some of these things to say, I want you to know what I can do to a dry and barren life. I want you to know what the fountain of living water can do to a soul that is dry and barren because of sin. I believe, dear ones, that God wants us to grasp these things. Do you know there was a reason why there weren't very many cattle on that ground? Do you know there's also a reason why there's not very many Christians in our world today? And among those that are professing Christianity, there's a reason why there's not more of the power and the grace and the love of God being manifested. It's because they have forsaken the fountain of living water. That fountain that is able to transform their lives, to make them a new creature in Christ Jesus, that's able to take that soul that sin has wrecked and has left it just barren and dry, and the fountain of living waters, if they get a hold of that, can make a new creature out of them, that can fill them with love and grace instead of, Brother Randall's not here, but he said, you know, you don't have to grow old and be cranky. Why is that? It's because of the love of God. But I will tell you, if you forsake the fountain of living waters, you're going to grow more than old and cranky. You're going to have a dry and a barren experience. And I believe, dear ones, that God created these things the way he did because of that. I think about the potential that you and I have because of the privilege that we've been given to serve God. Do you know, I think about our nation. You know, we have seen what happens when a nation puts God first, have we not? Yeah. This nation started out as a few scraggly colonists, and it went in just a few hundred years to being the leading superpower of the world. That didn't happen by accident. Because our nation put God first in the beginning, and it was founded on principles of truth. But you know what? We're also witnessing before our very eyes what happens when a nation turns its back on God. We're seeing our nation descend into anarchy and chaos, rioting in the streets. Those of you from Oregon know exactly better than any of us what I'm talking about. There's things that are happening. A nation that was once one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty for all, is now so divided that our nation can't hardly agree on anything. Even the sports that has been something that most everybody out there they could unite under. But even that's divided today. And it's because they have forsaken the fountain of living water. I'm thinking this evening also about the droughts that are occurring in our world today, in our nation, East Coast, West Coast. Do you ever wonder why God allows those things to happen? Don't you know, dear ones, He controls the weather just like He's manifested to us this week? So why does God allow that to happen? I wonder if it's not to help you and I and to help mankind understand without God, we really cannot accomplish anything. Do you know, at best, it's a meager experience. And without God, you really can't even have that. And I believe that God wants us to get a hold of some of these things. I noticed when we were out there in Montana and Wyoming, there were lots of oil wells out there dotted all across that land, kind of like there is in Oklahoma. And as I traveled across that and I looked at that, I thought, of all the vast resources that are just under the surface, do you know God provided that before man even knew what oil and gas was? Long ago, God planned all of this. And you know, there are so many lessons we can get from this. I thought about that oil and that gas. Do you know what you have to do? You got to dig down, don't you? You can't just have a surface experience, dear ones, and expect to receive the blessings of God. You're going to have to dig down. There's a scripture over in Romans, the 11th chapter. It says, oh, the depth. Romans 11 and 33, it says, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. Do you know, there are things, dear ones, there are depths of knowledge and understanding that God has for each one of us. But you're not going to get it with just a superficial experience. You're going to have to get rooted and grounded in the Lord. You're going to have to dig down and say, Lord, I want this. And really mean it with all your heart. And when you do, God's got things down there. I thought about that oil and gas. When man finally learned about it, do you know what they did? They sent all these geologists and all out across the land, and they've mapped lakes of oil and gas and all this all over. And I remember as a child, and there were people that come through there, and they were making maps where all of our resources were at, and they had it all figured out. You know what they said? We've got enough natural resources to last X number of years. But you know what happened? Then they heard about fracking. And then they learned that when you get down and you get into the rock, all of a sudden there is an abundance of oil and gas that they never even realized was there. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, when you and I get down to the rock, you might say, well, I'm saved and I'm sanctified and I know what the truth has been. I've been to Monarch 30 years. I'm going to tell you, you keep getting into the rock. And there is an abundance of things that God has for you and I that our eyes, we haven't even begun to see. I was thinking about this. And you know, sometimes we can take the scriptures and we can open them up. And we can read the scripture and we think, well, not much there. And we go on to something else. But you know what, dear ones? I think of the vast, there is something of great value just below the surface. If you and I can get it. But you know what? Sometimes God has to permit trials. Sometimes He has to put tests, afflictions. Sometimes He has to let people ride over our head before He can break the rock, so to speak. He can get us down to a place that we can get a hold of those gems that God has for us. You know, sometimes we can do the same thing with people. We can look at people and say, not much value there. Sin has just destroyed them. They're not much value there. But I'm going to tell you, dear ones, there is something of great value just below the surface if you and I can somehow draw it out. I thought about a scripture over there in Matthew, if you'll turn with me. Matthew, the 21st chapter. Matthew, the 21st chapter and the 42nd verse. This was Jesus speaking to the scribes and the Pharisees. And Jesus saith unto them, did you never read in the scriptures the stone which the builders rejected? The same has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Do you know, dear ones, the scribes and the Pharisees rejected Christ. They looked at him and said, carpenter's son, nothing there. But you know what? This was the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This is the one that had all power in heaven and earth. This is the one that had all the love and the joy and the peace, all of the blessings of God that they longed for, and they rejected him. But you know what? There are many doing the same thing today. They're looking out and they say, go to Monarch? Set in an open tabernacle in July? Nothing there. Not for me. But if you've been here all week, you know exactly what they've missed. And I'm not just talking about the cool weather. I'm talking about the blessings of the Lord that comes down. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, God's got some things for you and I. If you and I are willing to dig down and get a hold of what God has. I thought about David of old. Do you know David looked to the mountains for his inspiration as well? I believe Brother Joseph read that last night, so I won't go and read all that, but it's over there in the 121st Psalm. David was speaking there, and he said, I will look unto the hills, which cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which created heaven and earth. And he said he would not suffer your foot to be moved. He said he does not sleep or slumber. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, what a privilege we have been given to serve a God like that. When you and I get a hold of these things, I'm going to tell you, I wonder sometimes, what have we missed out on that God has provided for you and I? Dear ones, if we've missed out on anything, we're living below the privileges that God has for us. God has something much more for that, and he wants us to be able to get a hold of these things. I thought about those mountains. Cool and refreshing. Have you ever thought about the wisdom of our God? Have you ever seen anybody that could take and do what he did? And store thousands of gallons of water. And you know how hard it is to take and control this water? You can't do it, can you? The weight of that, and you just can't hardly do it. But our God stored thousands of gallons of water up on the side of those mountains, and he kept it cool all summer long. When we were out there in Montana, I was out there, and we stayed on this ranch, and I would walk out through there, and I looked, and I saw these streams coming down, all down through there. And it had cold, clear, refreshing, life-giving water for all the animals and all those things. And it came down, and it flowed into the creeks and into the rivers. And I asked the people that lived there, I said, where's this coming from? And they said, see that snow up there on the side of the mountain? That's where it's coming from. And I said, well, don't it ever run out? How long does it last? And they said it'll last usually about all summer until we get past into the fall and the rains start. And he said, then it's all gone and it starts over again. Dear ones, have you considered the wisdom of our God? Who else would think of storing that much water up there and keeping it cool and it not melt all together and it lasts all summer long? I'm going to tell you, the devil will tell you, this is a dry and a barren world. And you can get a little bit at Monarch, but it's going to run out. I'm going to tell you, if you get a vision of this, dear ones, there's a fountain, there's a stream that will keep you watered all year long. Cool, life-giving water that will take and it won't run out until you have a time to get it refilled again. But it has to come from God. I am persuaded, dear ones, God did all this for a purpose. He wants you and I to understand when he talks about this, the wisdom, the infinite wisdom of our God. Dear ones, when you look at the mountains, the oceans, the heavens, the stars, when you look at all these things that God created, do you know what they're designed to do? They're designed to give you and I an understanding of the majesty of our God. When you and I look into the Word and we begin to see these things, it's intended to give us an understanding when God starts talking to us. And we're saying, that's too much. I can't even understand it. When you look at some of these things, it'll do it. You know, it is a privilege to live for God. Even when we suffer reverses and difficulties. Can you say that? Do you know God's given us things to address that as well and to help us understand it? When we were out there in Yellowstone, we went to one section. I was telling you how beautiful this is, and we went to one section, and the forest fires had just burned it all up. And you look at that and think, oh, what a waste. This is so beautiful. And all this, it's just total destruction. But you know what? I learned there and in New Mexico from those fires, you talk to the rangers and they'll tell you, oh, there's so much good comes out of these fires. And you say, what? And they begin to tell you how the insects and the diseases that are attacking these forests and how that they get in there and they're killing these trees and that fire sweeps through and it just destroys them all. And you say, well, it destroyed the trees too, but yet it spared many others as well. And then they begin to talk about how that where it destroyed all these trees, there's all these grasses that come up and how that feeds the elk and the deer and all these animals that when the trees are so thick, they're having a hard time finding a place to get something to eat. And then they talk about all those trees that died in the fire and how they're laying down there and rotting and all these insects that are attacking those. And then the bears and the other animals come along and they've got something to eat. Do you know, dear ones, I believe God. When he created, you say, why did he create forest fires or fire to begin with and all these things? I believe God had a purpose in it. I believe, dear ones, he wanted you and I to get a hold of the fact that he is able to take that which seems to harm us and to turn it into joy, into goodness, into things that will bless our lives. Dear ones, I'm going to tell you, God has something that is great for you and I. And I believe God wanted us to recognize the things that he has, and he wants us to get a vision of the power of our God. It's no wonder Paul said there, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. Dear ones, I wonder sometimes just how much we're missing out on. I wonder sometimes if the busy cares of life and all those things don't hinder us from really getting a depth with God that will give you and I a greater vision of him. You know, the Apostle Paul quoted this from a scripture over in Isaiah, and I want to read it in Isaiah, the 64th chapter. In Isaiah, the 64th chapter, in the 4th verse, he said, for since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, besides thee, what he hath prepared to him that walketh, that waiteth for him. Do you know, dear ones, both the Apostle Paul and the prophet Isaiah was trying to convey the thought that God has provided things from the very foundation of the world that you and I have not even seen yet. And I believe that God wants us to broaden our vision, to see more of that. As we were traveling across those states, we were talking about some of the things that were there. And my wife and I were talking, and we mentioned how that God had created all this. And I told her, I said, if God created all this here, what do you think he's created in heaven where we're going to spend eternity? But you know, dear ones, I don't believe that's what this writer was talking about. I believe this writer was talking about things that God provided for you and I right here. And I don't believe it's the things I've been talking about. He provided these things too. But I believe the Lord was speaking about something greater than that. I believe that he was inspiring them to understand the wonderful plan of salvation. That lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world that God has provided for you and I. And I believe that God in his infinite wisdom, he took and he planned all of that out just like he planned all of these other things out. But you know, Paul said over there in the seventh verse, he said, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Now, when you look at this, he's saying, had they seen and known and understand, they would not have crucified Christ. But they did crucify him because they didn't see. The question that I want us to think about this evening is, why did they not see it? Was it because God did not show them all of these things? I don't believe that for a minute. I believe, dear ones, that each one of them knew the prophecies of Christ. The scribes and the Pharisees prided themselves on knowing the prophecies and all of those things. I believe they knew it. But I also believe that when God revealed these things to them, there was something that kept them from seeing it. And I want you to think about it. Just like all these things that I've been talking about, that God provided to broaden our understanding of what he has for us. Do you know, dear ones, God provided all those prophecies and all those experiences in the Old Testament in order to help man understand the plan of God? Do you remember the story of Abraham and Isaac and the ram? That was a visual picture that God had, that he wanted them to understand the lamb that he had provided for us. Do you remember the story of Jonah and how he was 3 days in the belly of the whale and God delivered him out of that and he brought salvation by the gospel to Nineveh? That was a visual picture that God wanted them to understand. I am able to take and raise my son from the grave and bring salvation to you. But they didn't get it. Do you remember the story of Lazarus and how that he died and Christ came along and he purposely waited so he could raise him from the dead? He was bringing that visual picture right down to their time, because I want you to understand this. This is what I can do for you. But they didn't get it. Do you know, dear ones, God has given us other stories in the Bible that relate to us today. Do you remember Daniel in the lion's den? Children, young people, when the devil tells you you can't live it at school, I want you to go back and get this lesson. Do you know what happened there? How did God save Daniel? He went down there and rescued him out of the lion's den and kept him overnight and then put him back? He didn't do it, did he? Dear ones, I'm going to tell you, God does not have to take you out of the world to keep you saved. He does not have to keep you out, take you out of your trials and your temptations or your afflictions in order to keep you saved. His grace is sufficient to keep you right in the midst of this wicked world. Do you remember the story of the three Hebrews in the fiery furnace? How did God keep them? He had an escape door over here to the side, didn't he, so that the king wouldn't see it. That's not what happened, was it? Instead, God met them right there, and he kept them right in the midst of the fire. Oh, young people, I would to God that you get a hold of these lessons in the scriptures, because you don't want to end up like the scribes and the Pharisees. You want to get a hold of the promises of God and say, I know that the same God that kept the three Hebrews can keep me in that class or in that school or in that time of temptation if I can just get a hold of it. I think about all of these. These were visual pictures, dear ones, that God had for the scribes and the Pharisees, and he had it for us. But they didn't get a hold of it. And so it wasn't because God didn't reveal it to them, but it was because the God of this world blinded their eyes. The scripture over there in 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, And that clock is just moving so fast, so I'm not going to read it all. But it talks about how that if the things are hid, it's hid to them that are lost, that the God of this world has blinded their minds. Dear ones, that's what happened to them, and it can happen to us if we fail to get a hold of some of these things that God has for us. Many today are in the same condition, and the God of this world has blinded their eyes. But I want you to get a hold of something, and you bear with me here. God has something for us. God has something for you. The scripture said, Paul said over there in Galatians, the fourth chapter, Galatians, the fourth chapter and the fourth verse, it says, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And then in Romans, he said, and if children, then heirs, Romans 9, 8 and 17 says, and if children, then heirs and heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. I want to ask you this evening, what is an heir? It's somebody that inherits something, doesn't it? Webster says, and I want you to get a hold of these definitions, a person legally entitled to the property or rank of another. On that person's death, a person inheritance and continuing the legacy of a predecessor. Dear ones, we've been given a glimpse here. Can you get it of what God has for us? I want you to look at this. God made it possible through the death of his son for you and I to be made heirs and joint heirs of Christ and to inherit the property and rank of God, of Christ. Now, you might say, well, I don't know. I might want something more than that. I remember Jesus said, what did he say? What was his property? He said, the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Lord, I want something more than that. But I want to give you a definition of property. It says a thing or things belonging to someone, possessions collectively, an attribute, quality, or characteristic of something. Now, let's consider what is the property of Christ. What is it that Christ possessed? When you look at this, what were his attributes? What were his qualities and characteristics? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, kindness, meekness, power. All of these things were the characteristics of Christ. And dear ones, he came into this world and he died on a cross that you and I can inherit his property. We can inherit the nature of Christ. And what was his rank? Remember it said property or rank? What was Christ's rank? He was the Son of God. He was one with the Father. Now I want to read you another scripture of what Jesus said over in John, the 17th chapter. In John 17 and 22, he said, and the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one even as we are one, I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them, and thou hast loved me. He also said in John 3 and 35, he said, the Father loveth the Son and hath given some things into his hands. That's not what he said. I'm glad somebody reads the scriptures. He said, the Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into his hands. I want to ask you this evening, what are you lacking? Dear ones, if you're lacking anything, you know what? You are living below the privileges of a child of the King. If there is a lack of patience, of grace, of love, of joy, of power, whatever it is, if you're lacking it, you're lacking it because you are living under the privileges that belongs to a child of the King. Oh, dear ones, I want to ask this again. Are we living below our privileges? Are you and I receiving the things that God has for you and me? Do we experience the blessings that Christ has for us? Dear ones, God, Christ made it possible through his death for you and I to inherit all these things and to give us access to all that God has in heaven and in earth. Oh, I'm going to have to stop because that clock is just going too fast. Sometimes, dear ones, I wonder if we really realize the depths that God has for you and I. I wonder, dear ones, if we understand the power and the grace and the love and the peace and the joy and the happiness that God intended for you and I. If you think tonight that you have been saved a while and you've got pretty much everything that God has, I want you to get a hold of our text. Paul said, "Eye has not seen, no ear heard, the things that God hath provided for those that love Him." There are things, dear ones, that I truly believe God has in store for you and I. You say, "I've got so much here at Monarch, I can't get any more." I'd say you better get to the rock. Because there's a fountain that will keep you all year long. There's joy and peace that will help you to overcome the temptations and the things that sin brings. I believe, dear ones, God wants you and I to be encouraged this evening that He has something for those that are privileged. The world's not going to have all these things. The world can enjoy all those things that I've been talking about. The glaciers and the fountains and the Yellowstone and all those things. They can go out there and see those things. But this is something that they can't get a hold of unless they take the way of the cross. And when they take the way of the cross, then all of a sudden the things that they weren't privileged to have is now accessible to them. But you know what? God intended for man, every man, woman, and child in this world to have the privilege to receive what I'm talking to you about tonight. And He intended for us, every soul, to have power to overcome the wiles of the devil. But the question is, what are we doing with that privilege that we've been given? May the Lord encourage your hearts this evening. I believe God wants us to have a broader vision of what God has provided for you and I. Appreciate your attention.